Hi folks, and welcome to the third episode of the Langley Sport Locker Room podcast, where we catch up with current and former students from school, and we get to share their sporting and life journeys here on the podcast. We'll also have our regular features of the rapid revision, where we get a 60-second summary of some GCSE PE topic content, and our Beat the Teacher Challenge, sponsored by the brilliant people over at NEX Team Inc. And they're fantastic and becoming very well-used home court app. I'm joined as ever by our deep-thinking and well-rounded co-host, head of cricket and international indoor cricket sensation, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, you're a man who immerses himself in the universe of physical education and sport during our catch-ups. What's been new in your world recently?
Well, thank you, Mr. Field. It's a very kind introduction. I do appreciate that. I don't know if all of that is true, but we'll definitely move swiftly on. Yeah, some big news in sport this week. For those of us who follow the sporting world, Tiger Woods had his had a big car crash in the UK, in America even. And was hospitalized, had some operations on his legs, which is sad times for the golfing world. I know a lot of male and female golfers wore his traditional red and black on the weekend's tournament. Annika Sorensen, who was making her comeback after sort of 10 or so years out of the golfing world, which was great to see. And then probably an exciting news from my viewpoint is the 100 tournament that is being done in the UK this summer with cricket. For the first time ever, a major tournament is being started by a women's match, which is really exciting news and fantastic to see how far the game of cricket's progressed and women's cricket's progressed. So, yeah, really exciting news. But we're back in school next week, Mr. Field, which is, exciting times. Enough of the Zooms. Let's get back on the sports field and the sports hall and doing some fun games, eh?
Yeah, fascinating stuff. I'm really glad to get back to school, and just chatting previously to our guest today, I know they're pretty keen to get back to their studies as well, and I'm sure we'll dive into that a little bit more. Great stuff on that women's cricket. It's such a big move and such a bold statement. I think after the women's Super League football making that big surge and cricket following now, I think women's sport in this country is, you know, starting to get recognised and rightly so. Shall we get into this episode a little bit now then?
Yeah, let's do it. So as per usual, we kick off with our rapid revision, where we challenge pupils to summarise a topic area in 60 seconds. This week's rapid revision challenge is brought to you by Heidi in Year 10.
The respiratory system is important because it consolidates with the cardiovascular system. Their prime purpose is to supply oxygen to the working muscles, which is where it becomes key in sport. The internal respiratory system requires exchange of gases between the blood and the cells, whereas the external respiratory system requires exchange of gases between the lungs and blood. The respiratory system consists of the pathway of air, which begins at the nasal passages. This is where air enters the body through the nose. The nasal cavity is split up by a cartilaginous septum, which forms the nasal passages, through to the pharynx and larynx, where both food and air travel through. Following this come the bronchi and bronchioles. The trachea divides into two bronchi. This is where the right bronchus goes into the right lung and the left bronchus goes into the left lung. The bronchi then dissect into smaller bronchioles, which enable air to pass into the alveoli. Lastly is the role of the respiratory muscles in breathing, which consists of inspiration, breathing in, and expiration, breathing out.
Great stuff, Heidi. Thank you very much for that. Lots of information to cram into a really short space of time. Thought you did a cracking job there. And I'm sure people who are revising will thank you for that when they can get into some of that content. Great effort. Okay, Mr. Jones, over to you.
Before we do that, Ms. Field, we can't forget, we usually do, unfortunately, but we can't forget our Beat the Teacher Challenge, brought to you by the Home Court app. If you haven't checked it out, please do. It is great fun for all ages. Certainly got the competitive juices flowing this week in the PE room when we were trying to do a Zoom. We have lots of competition, as you can expect. But this week's Home Court Challenge is the lateral hop. Caitlin, an upper six and representing Beecham House, which is great to see, is the current leader on 66. So if we can have a go at being Caitlin, that'd be good fun.
I think you underestimated the competitive juices. It kicked off in the PE department this week.
It really did.
I'm worried about coming back to school. Could get nasty.
I think when you start maybe a leaderboard and things like that, Mr. Field, really, really get into it.
It doesn't have to be competitive.
Rude not to. That is true. That is true.
Okay, right. Let's get into this week's episode and the guest that we've got for this week. I'm delighted that we have been able to get her back from halfway across the country. And just as a little introduction, this is a young lady who came to school for sixth form only. And I actually knew her from coaching hockey outside of school before she came to school and also before I came to school. So it was quite interesting when I rocked up on interview day to coach a hockey session and I turn up and she's there and her first response is, "What are you doing here?" Which made me feel incredibly welcome and questioning whether I should have turned up at all in the first place. And then I think after that, once I'd started here, the next biggest problem was her trying to call me Mr. Field or Sir rather than Stu. And to be honest, by the time she caught on, she was about to leave anyway. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce this week, Alice Woollett. Alice, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Very well, thank you.
And you're joining us from where today?
From Nottingham. So I'm currently at Nottingham Trent University.
Excellent stuff. Fantastic. So I think Mr. Jones, you're going to kick off with some early questions.
Yeah, Alice, thank you very, very much for joining us today. Could you start by telling us a little bit about your Langley journey, sort of the subjects you came to study in sixth form, why you chose Langley in the first place, and then those subjects. And as you say, you're at Nottingham Trent Uni. What you're studying, how it's all going in these turbulent times that we are currently in?
So I joined Langley just for the start of sixth form and for my final 2 years. And the reason why I chose Langley is probably just more sporting availability, like opportunities within the sport. Also, I think just the like support from the staff was, I think due to the sixth form, it was a lot more smaller numbers than Thomas Mills, where I previously was. So support from the teachers was a lot better than, not saying Thomas Mills, like it was bad, but I think for someone who's less academic, more support is better. And I chose to study sports BTEC. So I did the double diploma and business A-level.
Fantastic. And how has that stood you in stead for Nottingham Trent Uni? What are you studying there?
BTEC sport. So I mainly took that because I wanted to do something based around sport at university. And because that covered different aspects of sport, such as like nutrition and all that, I've now gone to study exercise, health and nutrition at Nottingham Trent.
Fantastic. Love it. And it's going well, even these turbulent times when you can't be in lessons just yet. I bet you're looking forward to next week as well.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back in, but it's been very different, but also, different and a big challenge doing it from home.
Have you been up in Nottingham the whole time or have you come back?
I came back just after New Year.
Okay.
Apart from that, I've been up in Nottingham the whole time.
Cool. So, Alice, the choice of the sport, BTEC and business, was there a plan there with that? Or why choose the business studies as the other option?
There wasn't really a plan, if I'm honest with you, but I did business GCSE and really enjoyed it and found it quite a fun subject. And then when I was looking around Langley, the teachers all seemed quite fun within the business department. That was mainly why I did business.
And you got lucky in your final year because one of your business studies teachers was also a hockey man.
Hatchpole, yeah. Yeah. So he joined Langley and was also a Magpies man himself.
Yeah. You've just mentioned Magpies there, and obviously I said about it before in your intro. Let's try and talk a little bit about that. Let's explore that kind of you playing school hockey, but also playing club hockey. Did you do some performance centre stuff as well along the way? Let's just talk a little bit about that hockey journey a little bit.
So my hockey journey, I was always a bit of an underdog the whole way, I think. So I always had quite a few people that were probably a couple levels above me in hockey. I never did performance center. I did JRPC, but never went any further than that. And then just stayed at Magpies the whole way through until I went to uni, and played majority of my games for twos and was probably borderline for the ones. And then that also then linked in quite well when I moved to Langley, as Langley and Magpies had the partnership going on. So getting the bus from Langley to Magpies worked quite well for training wise and times.
And do you feel that the two complemented each other in terms of pitch time and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. So I think because, so like yourself, was you're a coach at Magpies and being our hockey coach at Langley, I think because of that, you knew how much we'd done at school anyway. So then we wouldn't overwork ourselves when we then got to Magpies training in the evening.
Very kind to say. I wasn't fishing there.
Out of interest, Alex, I'll dob Mr. Field in now. What's Mr. Field like as a hockey coach on the school front and then on the outside?
I think very similar, very enthusiastic.
Love it.
And I personally quite like it. So when playing matches, quite a vocal coach from the sideline, but giving you quite a lot of positivity, but then also like telling you where the room for improvement is. And personally, I quite like that from a coach.
Love it. Thank you, Mr. Field. You passed the test.
We can pay you afterwards, Alice. what would your week then look like? Because hockey obviously took quite a big, it was a big approach for you at school. What would your week kind of look like then in terms of in school, out of school, training wise? How many hours do you think you were doing?
So my school day actually started really early because I got the bus to school. So I got the bus at 6:45 every morning to school. So I started early, and then so every Tuesday and Thursday it was hockey games at school, and then I think it was Tuesday and Thursday evenings was training at Magpies until 9 o'clock, I think, most evenings.
Yeah.
So it was quite intense. I had quite an intense schedule, meaning I got home at about 9:30, 9:45 most evenings. So I was just trying to work school work around it as well, and just time management really.
It's a long old day. It's a massive workload. It's an impressive effort to be able to manage all that. Very impressive.
And how do you think that has, you said time management there, do you think that has that experience helped you in terms of where you're at now with regards to uni and your studies?
Yeah, I think it definitely has helped me, but I also think I got a lot of that from when I was younger.
Okay.
And doing gymnastics when I was younger at an elite level, I think that kind of sets you up for your life ahead of you, for like just, yeah, time management, managing yourself and just self-discipline really.
It's time intensive, isn't it? It's
very time intensive.
That's interesting then. So you were probably prepared for sick form and managing hockey versus workload versus everything else and long days on the back of those experiences through doing gym?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I think, yeah, during gymnastics, I was leaving school halfway through the day and then getting back late in the evening. So even then it was managing your time of, even at such a young age of primary school and then going to 4 hours of training in the evening.
Do you look back on that and on that time and think that was really good, I really enjoyed that, or do you look back and go, oh my word, what sort of memories of it?
It's a strange one because I think I was doing it from such a young age, and I think with gymnastics you do it from such a young age, and you kind of just think it's normal, you think it's like it's your normal life and you think, oh, that's just my daily routine, it's normal for me to be doing that. But then I look at it now and I do think that is crazy for a 7-year-old to be training from like 4 p.m. till 9 p.m. in the evening. It's complete madness.
Doing that from 7?
Yeah, so I started gymnastics when I was about 6 years old, and finished, quit when I was 11, I think. I think that's
when my reason you quit.
I think, yeah, so I didn't quit personally. Well, I obviously quit, but it wasn't my choice. And mum and dad, I think they decided to say, right, enough's enough. And I just think because of the whole, the coaching in gymnastics is very different to any other kind of coaching you get from like hockey or just like netball or whatever, like normal kind of sports. It's very intense and parents aren't allowed to actually be there to train. So yeah, what goes
on? Somebody like even Simone Beals from America, she said if she had a kid, she probably wouldn't let them do gymnastics, which is arguably one of the best gymnastics that will ever be.
Yeah. And I've had so many people say that to me, saying, oh, would you let children do it? And I just think, no, personally, I wouldn't, unless it's changed now. But from what I've heard, it hasn't. And
yeah,
it's very different. Yeah. And I don't think you don't realise what it's like until I look back at it like this year, I don't think I realise what you go through.
I think that's what's been highlighted, and because you're so young, you don't know what's actually happening.
Well, that's the thing. You do think it's normal for you to be treated in the way you get treated.
Yeah. Do you? I mean, you've mentioned already that you feel like whilst you can reflect on that in that way, you feel there were some really good skills that you were able to develop that have helped you in later life. So that must be quite hard in your head trying to balance out that, God, that was a nightmare, but hey, I did learn really cool stuff from that. What about physically? Do you think the physical preparation that you got from gymnastics has, and we'll talk in a minute about, you know, where you're at now with your hockey. Mm-hmm. Do you think that helped?
100%, yeah. I think myself, because gymnastics is quite an individual sport. So, and I think to do well in gymnastics, you've got to have a good self-determination. You've got to have a good drive to actually do well in your sport. And I think I've taken that from gymnastics the whole way through to hockey until now. And I think that will always probably stay with me. And whatever I get put at me, I will always try and give it my best. So yeah, that's probably one of the positives I can take away from gymnastics.
And so, let's get into that then. Now, you went. You're at Nottingham Trent Uni.
Mm-hmm.
What were your choices? What was the range of choices before going to uni?
So I always had in my head I wanted to go to Nottingham Trent. That was always my main uni. But Hull was another one, and I think Southampton was another one. All quite different. But I think I always had in my head that I wanted to go to Nottingham Trent, and then was quite lucky to get the unconditional offer from Trent. So, yeah.
What was it about Trent?
I knew a couple of people in the old years already at Trent, and they'd all just said that the nightlife's amazing.
But you haven't experienced that yet, have you?
And also the sport, there's like hockey's at a very good level, and just the social aspect is all really fun. And Nottingham's a really nice city as well to be in.
Good choice, good city, that's for sure.
And I remember at the time, obviously a big driver in Nottingham was the local hockey club scene, because you weren't sure, you know, whether you'd be uni hockey on a Saturday or whether...
Yeah.
And obviously there's the likes of Beeston and some of the other big clubs up around there. How did that all pan out? What happened with that?
So Trent actually do have a Saturday team. And our coach Mark, his aim is to try and get as many people playing in Saturday ones for Trent as possible, unless you're a Trent scholar. Then you're going to be playing Beeston ones at the weekend. So basically, unless you're playing Beeston ones and you play Trent Saturdays, which is actually really fun, because then all your Wednesday twos and Wednesday ones are all in one team together. That's how it really works out. But if I'm honest, we're not actually in a very high league at the moment for Saturday, but the plan is to get us up to a good enough level so we could then can compete against teams like Beasts and Twos and be in that kind of league, to have a good uni team, like teams like Nottingham Uni and like Exeter. They all have really good Saturday teams.
And you've chatted to me about this since you've been away, and you got there and you were like, oh, there's a first team of uni players here that's full of junior internationals, basically. How many of them were there in the first team there?
So when I joined, the other freshers alongside me, so that was, two Northern Irish who are both playing for Ireland, two Scottish, one American came over, Carrie Hanks, who's now full-time in the US squad. Bridget, who was in the New Zealand squad, and then a couple of GB players. And honestly, I turned up and I just thought, oh my gosh, what have I walked into? This is a complete different setup to what I'm used to back at home. Yeah, complete game changer.
But you made it.
Yeah, so I remember being there in pre-season. So we all went up so early in pre-season. I remember Dad saying, like, just go up there, enjoy it, and whatever happens, happens. Just, like, give it your best, and whatever happens, happens. Like, you've never played against people of this level before. And then I remember getting the message from Mark being like, can you come for a meeting? And I said, oh, gosh, okay. And that was the meeting when he handed me over my performance kit, and it was like, here's your kit for the squad. And I was like, as if I've actually just made the team. But yeah, I couldn't quite believe it.
So I just want to touch on, I just want to touch on something you mentioned earlier that I think is sort of becoming relevant in this conversation. You mentioned that you thought you were always an underdog. Where did that sort of first come from? And then how did it sort of stand you in good stead? I sort of get maybe the feeling that you actually enjoyed being the underdog and you took great pride and satisfaction being an underdog and then achieving what you clearly have achieved by getting that call up from Mark. So I just wondered how did the underdog mindset sort of come along? And it sounds like you thrived on it, really.
Yes, yeah, so I think right back from gymnastics, I always say there's a couple of my best friends from gymnastics who are British champion, literally winning everything. And I'd come like third, maybe in other competitions, always behind them all, but like not massively behind, but like getting the bronze medal, not the gold medal. And then moving, then same with athletics. I'd always say for Ipswich Harriers, I'd hurdle and always winning the local competitions and then getting to hurdling for my county and then coming up to the bigger, like much bigger girls in like London. And just, it was just a completely different game. And then the same with hockey. I think there's always been a certain group of girls that were always making like high pack, and I was the one always just got to like JRPC, and then just playing like the odd game for a Magpies first team, when the others would be like just in the one squad regularly. But I think that's when I think in a way I do think I enjoy it, because there's less pressure on you to perform as well every game, but then when you do things well, you do get recognised.
Do you think that's helped with like your resilience? You clearly never gave up and you just persevered with it. I think that highlights a huge character,
I think I've definitely had a few moments, definitely during hockey, being like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. And there's probably definitely a few games where I didn't get much pitch time and I came off and I said to mum and dad, I was like, oh, that's it. I don't want to play anymore. I've had enough. But I think Dad especially, he's always been like, look, like you're here to enjoy what you're doing. And if you're going to be good enough, you'll get recognised whatever time it is. It will always be identified if you've got the talent or not. And I think just for me, it's been working hard and from that, yeah, just definitely working hard and being like, I can get somewhere if I actually want to try and do it. And which is, at Trent.
I think there's a lot in that, Mr. Field and Alice, like having a supportive network that don't push you too much but encourage you to enjoy it, and what will happen and the determination and what follows will be a result of hard work at the end of the day. And you clearly have that. And hard work and enjoyment usually goes a long way to a lot of things in sport and in life, I think.
And I think in our last two as well, both with Mary and Joe, they talked for different reasons about the support networks that they had. And I think you're right. I know Dad. I know Mum. I know the whole family of Woollett's. Dad was that supportive. He would get on his big coat and come and manage on the sidelines every Saturday, come wind, rain or shine. Was always there. It was, and has continued to do so even with Emily since you've been gone, and with Kate, you know. In terms of support, that it's great. But I think what's also really nice about this is the you being able to, apart from those couple of times, go, well, I'm not sure I really want to do this anymore, being able to stay in the moment and just be you and just keep enjoying it. And if we're able to just enjoy it in the moment all the time, look at the success we can get now. Because Trent, they're no slouches, are they? You've just reeled off a whole sort of squad of internationals that you're playing alongside. You guys are competing at a high level in the Bucks League. So for listeners that don't know Bucks, it's the British Universities and Colleges Sports Leagues. And you guys are competitive. It's a pretty fierce outfit, right?
Yeah. So last season, they just got promoted to National League, which sadly this year we haven't been able to play in at all. But personally for me, so I wasn't actually in the one squad this season, I think just due to the recruitment and new scholars coming in. It's just the challenge to get in the team is just unbelievable. So this season I've captained the twos.
Okay, awesome.
That's just a complete different role now. So it's just like leadership and bringing.
Are you enjoying it?
It's been a complete different season this year, I guess, because you haven't really played any Wednesday games. So it's just, even off the pitch, it's just trying to get like the new freshers involved with social things as much as we can do at the moment, even though it's quite hard and tricky. I definitely think it would have been a great season to be a captain if we could have played for the twos.
That's incredible. Alice Woollett, captain. and this is nothing against you. I would have never have put those two things together in the time that I knew you. No, and so the fact that you've gone away and developed in a way that you've put yourself into that role, I think is brilliant. You know, it almost sort of shows that that resilience that we were just talking about before. No, I knew that.
I think uni's been a big thing for me. Like, I don't know. I think I was always seen as a quieter person, which is never a bad thing. But I think uni's definitely brought confidence out in myself and just within a bigger group of people, just to become that leader to people.
Definitely not an underdog anymore, Alice.
Big dog now.
Yeah.
So something we want to touch on a little bit then is you get this performance gear. You're in the first team squad, arriving with all these internationals. In a classic question of sport sense, what happened next?
What happened next? As in playing or?
You started to play and then partway through that first term.
Yeah, so I had a bad injury. So I actually tore the ligaments in my right ankle, which put me out of hockey for a good 10 weeks, I think. So it took me out of hockey for 10 weeks, but then took me, I reckon, about a month to get back to match fitness ready. So that's quite a big step back.
I don't know if you can remember back. It may be emblazoned in your mind. You may have chosen to forget all about it, but how did those first couple of weeks feel?
Horrible. They were honestly horrible. I think just the thought of I'm out for 10 weeks, and the first thing that I thought was I'm going to be so unfit when I try and get back, and it's going to be so hard to compete to get back into that squad, because even the people that weren't in the squad and that were borderline were all playing at such a high level anyway. So getting back to match fitness and then trying to get back into the squad was going to be so tough after what I'd just worked for.
And a gymnast and an athlete, actually, your engine is a massive part of your game. I've seen you tear up hockey pitches endlessly thinking, I wonder if this girl ever stops. it's a big part of your game. So,
yeah, definitely.
That thinking, when are we ever going to get back from that? Yeah, hard things to deal with the injuries. But it sounds like you've come out the other side of it with a different perspective, you know, captaining the twos now.
And the Trent physio is actually really, really good and works really closely with us. So the support I had recovering from injury and getting back onto the pitch was really, really good. So I think that also, I think if I didn't have that, I would have been out for much longer.
And obviously there's the physical side of the injury. There's the mental side of injury as well, the psychological side of injury. Did they help with that? Did they point you in the right directions on those sort of things?
I mean, I think I've always had quite a positive outlook from it anyway. And I never really looked at the negatives too much from the injury. And I kind of just tried to think, okay, I've got like 7 weeks to go and we can start running 200 meters on the pitch or whatever, or just like jogging on the treadmill. So I tried to just take each step as it came, really.
Yeah. Great stuff.
I love that. And that would be a hard thing to do when you're injured. You know, you've worked so hard to get to something.
Yeah.
Then reshape your focus to, right, in 7 weeks I can start running, in 8 weeks I can get on the treadmill. So yeah, all credit to you to come back and do the things that you're doing now. I know while at uni, obviously in today's day and age, loads of things going on. I know the whole uni experienced a unique sad event of the passing of the rugby first team captain. Can you tell me a little bit about that and sort of what came of it? I know you've been heavily involved in some challenges and some charity events, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah, definitely. So just before Christmas, a close friend of ours and the Trent Rugby First Team captain, Tom, he passed away in a tragic accident just before Christmas. So ever since then, really, everyone's been trying to keep him in our memories, carry on his legacy. And he was the Nottingham Oddballs ambassador and loved his role as the ambassador. So the first bit of charity that we all did for him to try and carry on his name within the charity, his parents actually started a Just Giving page for the Oddballs Foundation, which we all raised just over £50,000, I think, which was amazing. And so part of that, actually, previous Langley student, so Will Finlay, him and one of his friends from Loughborough, actually started up a challenge as well. It was some press-up challenge, can't quite remember what it was called.
I remember this.
So they'd started up a challenge as well in aid to raise money for Oddballs as well. So they raised about £3,000, I think, for the charity as well. So it's just been bringing everyone together, I think, in such a tough time. And then recently, some of his other friends started a challenge called the Be More Tom Challenge, which I took part in February. So it was running at least 12 miles per week. So myself and a group of friends from uni ran 3K a day, just trying to cover the mileage for the week. And we finished off a big marathon walk at the end, the big challenge.
This was what got us onto this conversation just before. I'd seen your 42 kilometre walk that you did one Sunday and I was like, does that say 42 kilometres?
That's great. Yeah. Fair play.
Epic outing. But again, what I think this is just, it kind of crowns off what the development that you've made as an individual, Alice. It's incredible. You know, I'd have never seen you captain in a hockey team. The way you speak so passionately there about your fundraising stuff that you do. And interestingly, listening to you track it all back to very early experiences in kind of confused view on gymnastics that you've got, of the good stuff and the not so good stuff that have come through. it's great to hear your story of the various things that you, that have gone on. We've got some quick fire questions, haven't we, Mr. Jones?
We sure do. So, Alice, to kick us off with a quick fire round, if you had to choose one exercise you'd do for the rest of your life, what would it be, do you think?
Oh, gosh. Probably be hip thrusts.
Okay.
I reckon.
Any reason why?
No, I just quite enjoyed them.
Do you go with full rack on as well?
Full rack.
Full bar.
Oh, yeah.
No half measures here, Mr. Field. Come on.
No half measures in me, Mr. Field. I just find hip thrust, I feel like I can push myself more than like a back squat. Not a fan.
Not for you. I think Joe's was a back squat, wasn't it, Miss Field? Wasn't Joe?
Joe's was a back squat. Yeah. I think he said that to keep Mr. Oakes happy.
Yeah, probably.
The hip thrust is interesting. GB Hockey put this out on a kind of advertising video for S&C about probably nearly 10 years ago now. And it was one of the things that they were doing there. And then I think every hockey coach in the world was like, right, we need to go.
Gotta get on it.
GB, it's good enough for us. Okay, next question then. When you are working out, we see you all over Strava with your runs and stuff like that. I don't know if you listen to music, but when you are working out, what's your favourite song or band or genre of music to listen to?
I usually go for some good throwback tunes. Bit of S Club. Quite enjoy that.
S Club?
Yeah, I love a bit of S Club.
Okay, cool.
Brave to admit that on live podcast here, Mr. Field. But anyway, so Alice, we're going to throw you under the bus a little bit. Your favourite Langley person? I know you probably made loads of new friends and things like that at Nottingham Trent. But while you're at Langley, your favourite person to work out with?
Definitely most probably Thor Finlay.
Okay,
Thor Finlay.
Yeah. I think we did most things. I think everything we did at Langley, we did together.
Came as a pair.
People most probably saw us together more than alone. So yeah, I think we just played hockey together. We just motivated each other to do a lot of things.
Brilliant.
You were a good pair. I think you helped each other a lot through both the academics, the hockey, the outside of everything else.
Definitely.
And do you still keep in touch now?
Yeah, me and Tor are still in touch, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Great stuff. Okay, here's one then. Best advice given to you by a teacher?
It's quite a tricky one. Probably academics were never my strongest point. So it's probably from Mr. Catchpole, just to never give up. And the more work that I put into it, the better result I'll get from it.
I like that. Good advice. Right, to wrap it up, Alice, what advice would you give to a young Year 6 Alice just starting out on her journey?
Definitely take every opportunity you get given. Don't say no to something just because you don't think you're going to be the best, you're not going to be the best or something. Just give it a go and see what happens.
Underdog mentality. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think it just probably, again, just highlights that bit that you said about your injury. I never really thought about the negatives. Mm. You're such a positive person. what a great way to round that up. Just stay positive. Keep thinking. Stay in the moment. Take the opportunities when they come to you. Alice, this has been fascinating. I thought I knew you quite well. And I've learned even more about you in the last sort of 20 minutes or so. It's been brilliant, you know, digging into those various bits there and also learning about the great stuff that you're up to now. So thank you for giving up the time to share that with us and to share it with the rest of the Langley School community.
Thank you, totally agree. Thanks, Alice.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
Well, Miss Field, another fascinating chat. Absolutely loved it.
Like I said at the end, I know Alice. I know, I felt like I know Alice, I knew Alice really well. But I've certainly learned just a lot more about her kind of psyche. I always knew she was a positive person, but that you brought it up beautifully about the underdog mentality and how she thrived on it almost.
I love that. If she knew she was the underdog, or for people who think they're the underdog, it could a lot of the time go the opposite way, couldn't it? They could give up at the first order and think, oh, well, I'm the underdog. It's not my day. I'm not going to achieve this. But she never looked at it like that. And as you say, fantastically positive young lady. And it just shows what can happen if you keep persevering, you're resilient.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, hockey specifically, certainly down at Magpies in her age group, there were girls that were at other schools doing really well in their hockey at Performance Centre, getting England calls at call-ups. She'd go and travel all over the country, excuse me, with the first team for 5 or 10 minutes of game. And she mentioned a couple of times where she wondered whether she would give it all up. But,
and you wouldn't have blamed her, to be honest, would you?
No, you could understand, but I love that perseverance to go, yeah, and that bit of support, you know, from the family to go, you know, don't give up just on that. See if you can stick it out. And she did, and she has. And, you know, here she is now at university, second year going into third year, captain in a team, doing some fantastic charity work. She is totally come out of herself. It's so nice to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's important. It's been touched on with our two previous episodes, how important that support network is. And she clearly has a fantastic one like Joe and Mary had. And yeah, it's proved the vital key to keep persevering and actually, as you say, come out with some fantastic results. And I've no doubt she'll be positive about this COVID situation and when it ends, hopefully soon. And finish uni and will be fantastic, fantastic young lady in whichever area she chooses to participate in.
Yeah. And she said, didn't she, that she's keen to get back to class and get into labs and doing stuff. And I think we're probably both in the same situation, aren't we?
Very much so, Mr. Field.
Friday afternoon on the 5th of March, looking forward massively to being back in school and seeing all the pupils and students and staff that we've been apart from for so long, and starting to crawl back to what we used to know.
Yeah, can't wait at the end of the day just to have some sort of normality. I do think COVID could teach us and has taught us a lot of good things. Obviously, it's sad times for a lot, but there is some good things to come out of it. And I suppose if we combine that with Alice's positive attitude, anything's possible for the future. So, yeah, really excited. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Sum that up nicely there. Go have a great weekend, Mr. Jones, and I look forward to catching up with you for real on Monday.
Very much so. Have a great weekend, everybody.